Today I have another poet in to talk about the launch of his fifth book of poetry. And he's a native of Dungarvan, and he's also native of the ESB. Shout out there to Noel Cronin. I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Mr. John Daly. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Dara.
Delighted to have you in. As I said to you off air, when I first heard that I was interviewing a John Daly, I initially thought it was John Daly from Cove, who was the musical director for, or the theatre director for the All Musical Society. And I thought to myself, I didn't know that he wrote poetry. But then I realised it's not that John Daly, it's the John Daly from Dungarvan.
Yes, exactly.
And you were telling me, John, that you're no stranger to here and you're no stranger to Noel Cronin. You've wired a few plugs in your time.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I spoke with Noel a few times here. I met him on occasion in the course of our work in the ESB, particularly storm times when the boundaries of the region or the districts would cross, and Dungarvan and Youghal would be close. Dungarvan goes as far as Youghal Bridge, but on occasion we would have to come across over to what's the name of the power station. Foxhole, is it? Out the road.
Well, I'm not a native now, so...
It's a while ago since I was working, so I'm just reminiscing.
Well, it's a while ago since Noel was working as well, of course. Yeah. I try and rub that into him every chance I get. But, John, tell me, you developed a love of poetry, obviously. This is your fifth book. Where did all that start?
Well, I suppose there it started. I've always been writing poetry. And even I was in England long ago, and I used to be writing parodies and little bits and pieces about the people I worked with and the pubs I spend all my money in. But I suppose it started basically with my grandfather. I never got on very well at home. That's a different story altogether. But when I was 4 years of age, I went to Ballinacorty. You can see Ballinacorty Lighthouse from out the road here in Youghal. And my grandfather lived there in a small farm. And my aunt took me out on the back of her bicycle at 4 years of age. And she said, I'll bring you on your holidays. And I'd bring you home in the morning because you'd be lonely. And I was looking forward to this. I can remember all excitement. And the one night that I was supposed to stay lasted 18 years. And my grandfather used to take me anywhere he was going, he took me. And he was a great musician. He was a great man on the fiddle and on the melodeon. And we used to go to Elstead's pub. Even as a small child, he used to take me to Elstead's pub. He didn't drink himself. He'd have one glass of Sandyman Port. I don't know if you remember.
So I do indeed, yeah.
With the flat hat on him and the cloak. And that'd be the lot for the night. But he'd dance and he'd play music and he'd recite poetry. He'd recite all Robert Service's stuff. Dangerous Dan McGrew and the Cremation of Sam McGee. And he'd recite The Green Eye of the Little Yellow God and all these things. And by the time I was, I suppose, 8 or 9 years of age, excuse me, I knew all these things by heart. And I suppose that was my initial exposure to poetry. I loved words, the way they rhymed and the way they expressed different things in a rhyming form. And like I say, I've been writing bits and pieces ever since. Most of the things that I wrote long ago are all gone, and maybe just as well, though, probably rubbish anyway. But recently enough, 5-6 years ago, my granddaughter came across a copybook that I had bits and pieces written on. She didn't know that I had stopped writing stuff for years. When you're... Unlike Noel Cronin, I was busy at work. And, getting organized, and you get out, like anything, you get out of the habit of doing. And as I say, my granddaughter came across this copybook, And she said, did you write this? And I said, yes. And she said, why don't you put them into a book? And that kind of started the germ of an idea in my head. And I decided to do it. And I went about it, and I was kind of feeling my way. I didn't really know how to go about it, but I eventually got the book published. It was called Songs of a Stargazer. That was the first book. And within a week, it was sold out.
Now, wow.
Now, I didn't have that many copies. I had, I think, maybe 500. I've always kept the amount of copies low. I only sell them around Dungarvan or in the locality. Or quite a few people would... exiles, more than anything, people in England, people in America, people in Australia would get relations to buy them to send them out, because quite a bit of the stuff would have been local to Dungarvan. And like I've always said, from Tramore to Yall, for me, is my particular corner of heaven. And I've written bits and pieces about Ring, about Ardmore, about Bunmahan, the copper mines in Bunmahan, and going to school in Ballinacorty, going to Mass in Garanbain, which is a little church up on the hill, down below the Waterford Road. And all this, anything that I've written is, I suppose, it touches on life in some way. I've written probably some that people might have, or certain people wouldn't like. I'd be a bit derogatory about the leaders that are walking us into trouble all the time, and that the corruptions and the abuse of clergy. And I've always tried to make the point that children that have been abused by clergy, and about people in trustful positions, not alone do they damage the children, but they damage the genuine priests and nuns and whatever just as much, because everybody in that lineup are painted with the one brush. And anybody, I suppose not everybody definitely, but a lot of people seem to like the simple, what I write is very simple. It's not complicated, and it's not what you call modern poetry. It rhymes, and I've been told that rhyme is out of fashion, and I must move with the times and all this kind of a thing.
I'm not sure you have to, John.
Well, I'm not either, Darab, but you see, like, any time that, this is a kind of my own idea, and you would know it here, doing the job that you're doing. Every time you sit in that seat and you talk to somebody about something abstract, whatever, the poetry, whatever, you're sticking your own head over the parapet to some extent. You're showing your personality, you're showing your, maybe your beliefs, maybe your attitudes or whatever. And the same way with writing poetry. You can't, I can't write something that I don't know absolutely anything about. I would have to have some kind of an idea of a feeling or an emotion or an experience or something that somebody told me or a story I had heard. And that's what I base all the things I write on.
You see, I can identify with that, John, because as a singer-songwriter myself...
Oh, yes, yeah.
I've always said I could never sing a song that doesn't touch me.
Of course,
If I don't get the meaning of it, if it doesn't touch me, I have no hope in hell of reaching out to the audience.
Of course you haven't. Well, that's exactly what I try to say in any little bit of poetry that I write, because... If you don't feel it yourself, how can you expect anybody else to feel it? This would be my idea, my belief. And like, as you know yourself, I wasn't aware that you used to write songs, things, but as you know yourself, you'll write a song today and it's a happy song. And you write a song tomorrow, and if you're feeling a little bit melancholy, or a little bit down, or a little bit sad, you write a totally different song. But the song you write will touch people that are feeling like that at a particular time.
I'm laughing away to myself as you say that, John, because yes. Recently somebody asked me, do you ever write a happy song? And I have written a few happy ones. They haven't been released yet, but some of the ones that have really touched my heart, they're true to life. And I'm getting, and I'm going to ask you to recite or to read from your book in a moment. I'm getting from yourself, John, is that you want this to be relevant. Forget these rules or regulations about poetry has to be more modernized now. I'm sorry, as a songwriter, I like to write in four-line format and the words rhyme.
Yes.
You know, it's easier to roll off the tongue. But you're able to do it in a way that it's real, it is current, it is right now. In its format, it works. If something isn't broken, don't fix it.
Well, one of the first things that I learned, and I'm sure you would agree with this as well, Dara, if you're writing, whether it be a song or a poem or a story or whatever, you must write that, for want of a better word, in your voice, how you feel about it, your slant on things. And you couldn't write like James Joyce. It would be foreign to you. You couldn't write like John Steinbeck, because it would be a totally different way of writing. But you will write in the way that you want to write, the way you feel comfortable with. And the same with the poetry. But that's your voice or my voice when you're writing something. And when you're finished, when you have a song complete, and you look at it, and if you're able to say, that's not too bad, it's not, you're on a winner.
Well, will you read from your new book? And before you do, John, I want to remind listeners that John's new book of poetry, The Time Traveller, it will be launched in the Dungarvan Harbour Sailing Club on Friday, July the 5th, at 8:30 p.m. It's going to be launched by the NAMA chairman, Frank Daly. Entertainment by Gabriel Murtha. The Time Traveller, as I said, it's John's fifth anthology. I like that. And it's priced at €10. It's an eclectic collection of 120 poems mimicking life with a little bit of social commentary mixed with rhyme, romance and melancholy. What is worth noting is that proceeds from the sales on the night of the launch will be donated to the RNLI in Dungarvan and Helvic Head fundraising branch, which John Daly has already said he grew up in Ballinacorty. We'll talk a little bit more in a minute, John, but I'd invite you to read something of your own choosing.
Okay, Dara. This is a little poem, just I was picking it out this minute, called Hands. And I was just talking, you know, about my grandfather. And I mean, when I remember thinking the first night when I was 4 years of age that I met my grandfather. I never could remember meeting him before that, because I suppose the cars and things were a bit thin on the ground at that time. And if I did meet him, I was too young to remember. And we had to drive cattle over. He always had a few bullocks. We had to drive him over to Ballinard, over near where the golf club is now. About a half a mile, I suppose, altogether. And at 4 years of age, you're driving cattle and you're beside the sea, and he showed me a seal that was swimming around just outside off the rocks in Ballinacorty. And this was pure, absolute magic to me. And we put cattle into the field, and then he said, we'll go home. And I remember thinking, that old man, he's old, he won't be able to walk all that awful journey. But to put things in context, he was 10 years younger then than I am now. He was always a big, powerful, strong man. He gave years in America working on the railway in Pennsylvania. And he actually went to school in America for a number of years, from the time he was 9 to the time he was 16. And then when he got old, he got older and he became a little bit feeble. He was working until practically the day he died, but he got a little bit feeble. And this is a thing called hens, and it's just my observation of him sitting at the fire. Your pallid hands rest on your knees, blue-veined and scarred and trembling now. But I recall the careless ease with which they handled horse and plough. Back then they were as strong as steel, below a whipcord muscled arm. How safe and loved they made me feel when they sheltered me from every harm. They tore a living from the soil, they soothed my every trip and fall. They never rested from their toil, but they were gentle more than all. In days of bees and butterflies, they ploughed and planted morn till night, while I read the seasons in the skies, and the harvest reaped with a sad delight. And they played the fiddle for the dance, when romance oft bloomed to the music's beat, when a shy and furtive sidelong glance said much more than the twinkling feet. Now they're tired, blue-veined and scarred. Now their long day's work is done. They cared for me when times were hard. It's my turn now. I'm your grandson.
Absolutely beautiful.
Thanks, Dara.
I was actually carried back in time there, John, if you don't mind. Thinking of my own grandfather and my own grandmother. And my grandfather was a well-known singer in St. Colman's Cathedral in Cove.
Mm.
And he worked, he had to go to England during the Second World War. And I know how much it pained him to be away from home and how he longed to be at home. And I listened to my mum, who's now 84, talking about growing up with her mum and dad. And the imagery of that poem, I think that can resonate with a lot of people, because oft times, John, we're quick to forget.
Oh, yes, definitely.
When we should be actually quicker to remember.
Yes.
And I could see it just in your eyes there as you were reading that. You were back there again as a four-year-old little boy seeing your grandfather for the first time.
Yeah, it's, I suppose. And I have no doubt that my grandfather was the biggest influence in my life. And he educated me without I realizing it. And every night, just to give you an example, every night after supper, like the nursing is dinner in the evening, that's for supper, you went in for your supper in the evening time. And every night after supper, he would take down the fiddle and he'd be playing a few tunes, and I'd be sitting at the fire and I'd be listening. And he'd say, "What'll I play now?" And I'd be thinking, I'd say, "Play a hornpipe." "Right," he'd say, "What'll I play?" And I'd say, "Play the King of the Fairies." And then he'd say, "How did that go again?" And I said, "Didn't you play it last night?" I can't remember, and I'd have to start off then. Oh, I remember it now, he'd say. But that meant I was learning the tune, and I was learning the name, and all to do with the tune, and that it was a hornpipe, a certain beat. So, and the same thing, he was always, he would be asking questions without I realizing that he was asking me questions. To me, he was telling me things, and he'd we'd go out in the morning, and I'd be going off down the field with him, and the sun would be shining, summertime, dew on the grass, and he'd look at the sky and say, "It'll be raining before evening." And I'd say, "How do you know that?" He said, "Listen." And I'd be listening. I didn't know what I was listening for. And he said, "Listen again. Do you hear anything?" And I said, "Something over in Helvig." Now, there's 3 miles of open water between Helvig and Ballinacorty. and he'd say, do you hear the crack, the intermittent noise? And I said, yeah. He said, that's Garrett Quinn's horse and cart. That's the axle cracking when the wheels go through the over the ruts. And when the pressure is low, when you have low pressure, the sound carries. And when you have low pressure, it's going to rain. And I'd be looking at the sky and the sunshine, the sky blue. Always before evening, it would rain.
Wow. You know, John, you're a fascinating gentleman, I have to say. And just that image of, as a young child, meeting your grandfather, the influence he had on you, but obviously the influence that you had on him, that fast forward to today, and your own granddaughter,
yes,
who found your writings, your poems, that encouraged you, granddad, why don't you make a book of these? It's come full circle, and I think it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, my granddaughter, she's 24 years old now. I can't believe it, but she is. To me, she's a child instead of being an adult. She's working away from home. She's super confident. But she has, and I suppose I'm prejudiced, but I know it to be true because other people would have said it as well. She has more nature than anybody I know. She's a tomboy. She'll fight her corn. She's stubborn. She's all these things. But, like they used to say long ago, I remember an old fella in Ballinacorty, old Mike Tracy, he'd say, well, you're as soft as a brush, which was a great saying of his. And she's as soft as a brush.
Behind it all.
Behind it all. And I suppose when I think back to my grandfather, and like you say, I didn't realise it then. But with my granddaughter now, and as I say, she's an adult now, and I worship the ground she walked on.
I can see that. John, it's been an absolute pleasure. I want to remind listeners again that John's fifth book, The Time Traveller, and I think that is a perfect title. It'll be launched in the Dungarvan Harbour Sailing Club on Davits Quay in Dungarvan at 8:30 p.m. on Friday week, that's July the 5th, by the chairman of NAMA, Frank Daly, with entertainment by Gabriel Murtha. It's an eclectic collection of 120 poems. It's priced at €10. The money on the night, the proceeds from the sales on the night, will be donated to the RNLI in Dungarvan and Helvighead fundraising branch. The cover featuring Bally... we get this correct?
Ballyvoyle, yeah.
Ballyvoyle Tunnel.
It's on the Greenway.
On the Greenway in Waterford, is designed by John Foley. All welcome along to the event. John, you know, there are no words. All I can say is thank you for taking the time to come in. Thank you for sharing your time. Thank you for sharing your stories. I'd love to have you in again at some stage. I'm going to try and get along to the launch myself on the night.
Great, Dora. I'd love to see you.
Because there's something about these stories that they need to be told, they need to be heard, and any opportunity that we have here to give you a platform to get that story out. And to your granddaughter, what's her name?
Aoife.
Well, we just have a few more seconds to go. If you want to send a greeting to Aoife, away you go.
Well, Aoife, she's worked in Cashel. She lives in Dundrum in Tipperary. So I don't know if you'll get it or not, but anyway, to Aoife, love you all.
Absolutely fantastic. John, we'll get a podcast up with the show and we'll share it with her as well. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And thank you very much.
Best of luck on Friday week. Keep writing.
Thank
you. Keeping true to yourself.
Yes.